Good morning, Magnolia and Grace Redeemer and Shifa. We're glad to have all of you here this morning. And Mike, thank you for reading that passage and sharing and praying for me. The slide I chose for my title slide is not it wasn't just happenstance. When we talk about the perfect investment, this is what we think of. The first, right? We think about material wealth and return on investment and all those things. I guess I have to use this thing. Hang on. So let's get started. However, that's not really what our passage in Matthew 6 was about. It's really not about necessarily worrying about the physical things. But this is what we do. Oh my. Maybe I should just, I'll just leave it. Oh, there we go. Thanks. Thanks for your help, Chuck. I'm off to a great start, everybody. Let's do this. Okay, so what we tend to do is we have worries. You know, the passage referred to food and clothing, but we have many different worries. Financial, do I have enough? Am I saving enough? Will I have enough for tomorrow's food? Relational, can I get over this? The brokenness of our relationships with people, the people we've offended, I have a master's in that. Not that I'm proud of it, but I do. Can we get over this? Existential, am I good enough? Am I good enough? Do I measure up to what people think about me, or am I doing all the right things? And maybe I should have Dan just do this. And emotional. Is this feeling forever? Am I going to feel this way forever? Or is there light at the end of the tunnel? There's many, many more common worries that we have in our life. I chose these four because they make a nice little acrostic. We want to be free from worries. That's what Gary does, so I thought I would try that for you. Do a little acrostic up there. And again, there's many, many more things that we can find to worry about. But worries blind us from the possibilities of kingdom work. That verse there, the first verse, we are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not stare at the end of what was fading. That's a really complicated verse and hard to understand, and it's at the end of toward the end of a conversation that Paul is having, describing the difference between the glory of God's new covenant and the glory of God's old covenant that he gave to Moses up on Mount Sinai. And so, basically in a nutshell, Moses was up there for 40 days and 40 nights, and when he came down, his face was glowing with the glory of God. And what happened with the people of Israel? They were fearful. They were afraid. And so he called the leaders together, and he called Aaron with them, and then he said, go get the people. And so then he then spoke to them what God said. But before he did that, he put a veil over his face. And Paul calls it a sign, kind of like the veil of the temple that was keeping people from having to see the glory of God, which frankly probably would kill you if you saw it. Remember, God tucked Moses into a little cleft when he passed by so that he wouldn't see the glory of God. But I take a different message from this passage in Corinthians. What just happened? Moses was up getting the law of God for 40 days and 40 nights, and he comes down with the stones that have the law on them. And then what happens? The people focus on Moses, and they're afraid. I mean, didn't they get it? The answer is no, they didn't get it. They were focusing on the fact that Moses' face was shining brightly. They missed the whole point. Paul also says that God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that could not see and ears that could not hear, to this very day. Well, if you read what happened in Exodus, it's tough to read, because chapter after chapter, ancient Israel was, they were following a cloud, a pillar of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night, the Shekinah glory of God, around all around the wilderness. And yet, what did they do? They complained about no water, take us back to Egypt. They complained about no food, take us back to Egypt. God gave them manna. They complained about the manna. They complained about bitter water. They complained about Moses' leadership. The whole time, God was right there. Right there. Now, before we judge them for that, how much different are we? God's right there. He's right there beside us, with us. God with us, Emmanuel. Don't be like ancient Israel. Open your eyes. Don't be blind. Have ears to hear. Seek first the kingdom of God. Wow. So, what does all this have to do with investments and the perfect investment? Before I answer that question, we're going to have to do a few investment basics. If you're an investment manager or investment broker, you know these things. You need an opportunity. You can't invest in something unless there's something to invest in, right? Pretty simple. So that's why it's a basic. You need resources in order to invest them. You need a plan for your return. When are you gonna do what you're gonna do to reap the rewards of your investment, right? So those are the basics of investing. There we go. Okay. So let's talk about our message today. We're going to talk about the perfect investment. And there, I'm going to give you some truths, and then I'm going to talk about those truths. God will present the opportunity. So act on it. God provides the opportunity to invest. Therefore, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. That it says in the message version of Galatians 6:10 says, right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all. Every time we get the chance. The implication is there, while you have opportunity, means you don't always get the opportunity. So you better take them when you get them. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. When you focus on your own needs, you're looking right here, right here. But what happens when you focus on the needs of others? You're looking out. You have a much broader view. If God's at work, yeah, you can see him right here. But if you're looking out, man, you can see God working. It's an amazing thing. How many people have had that experience? You see God's work. You meet a need, and all of a sudden you go, wow, we'll talk more about that later. My mentor in my 20s was Pastor Paul Hoffman. He officiated our wedding. Thank you. He officiated our wedding, and he has a daily Bible devotional. He has a Bible devotional that he sends out every day by email. He's a good friend, but he said this in a sermon 40 years ago, but I'll never forget it. If you seek to help people who are worse off, that's supposed to be off, than you are, pretty soon everyone will be worse off than you are. Now stop and let that sink in for a minute. If you seek to help everyone, or people who are worse off than you are, pretty soon everyone will be worse off than you are. That can be taken a lot of different ways, and frankly, it should be. Let me tell you about Paul. He started a church up in Auburn, California, and he read in the newspaper that somebody had been run over by a train. It was a local drunk. Paul went down, he claimed the body, and then he performed a funeral and paid for the burial. That's what Paul did, Pastor Paul. Another time, a guy came to his church who was out of work, and he moved to Auburn, hopefully for better circumstances. Paul gave him his car because he needed a car to commute to the job that he got. The local dealership heard that story, and he gave Paul a car, a brand new car. Now, Paul didn't give the guy a car so that he'd get a car, a newer one, did he? No, he was trying to help somebody who was worse off than he was. That's Pastor Paul. See me later if you want to get his daily devotional. So now we're here, we come to my story, my God story today. I'll try and get this done in 15 minutes. Our son Travis signed up at his church to go on a missions trip to New Mexico. And it was right after COVID had just, everything opened back up. So they couldn't get an air flight, not a reasonable one. So they decided to take the train, which I think is wonderful. Travis, obviously, we took him to the train station to drop him off and to say goodbye. His group lined up at the train car, the first train car, where the first coach train car, they weren't getting rooms. They went coach, you know, where you sleep in a chair all night. Anyway, they went to the first coach car. Oh, no, you're not here. They went to the next coach car. Nope, you're not here. They went to the third one back. And this whole big line of people kept moving backwards, and they all got on there, and we said goodbye. But we wanted to wave goodbye to Travis. I mean, what's the joy of having a train if you can't wave goodbye? So we walked back up the platform, so when the train started going, we could see Trav in his window, and we could wave at him. As we were walking, we looked down, and there was a suitcase there. And on the suitcase was a luggage tag, and it said ALQ, Albuquerque. I looked at Brenda and I went, oh, this isn't good. And right as we realized that, we heard this yelling and screaming and banging, and we looked back, and here's a guy running along with the train, banging on the door, go, wait, I gotta get my luggage. The train didn't stop. And there's this guy standing there on the platform with his father-in-law, going, what are we going to do? And then he just went hysterical. He would be embarrassed to hear all the things that he said right now. If you heard all those things, he would be embarrassed. So he ranted and raved and didn't know what to do. And so we walked over to him and we said, maybe you could take the train tomorrow. You could stay at our house overnight. You know, you could take the train tomorrow. He said, my phone is dead, my family is on the train, and we were gonna take the train tomorrow, but it's full. I just went, oh my gosh. I looked at Brenda, and she looked at me, and I said, you wanna go to Barstow? And of course she said, oh sure. So, that was the opportunity. Oops. God will provide the resources. Use them. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ. The Bible also says, how did he not also spare his own son? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also through him give us all things? That's in Romans chapter 8. In fact, I'm giving you an assignment. I would like everybody to read Romans chapter 8 3 times today. Go home, read it. You know, sometimes we get out of here and we go watch football, or we get out of here and go do gardening, or we go for a Sunday drive. Sometime today, make time to read Romans 8 3 times. three times. It kind of addresses the whole, I would say aura, but that might sound kind of weird, but the whole aura of our service today, Romans 8. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is within your power to do it, it says in Proverbs 3:27. James 4:17 is a little rougher. So for the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, for him it is sin. I had to go to Barstow. I didn't have a choice. I had to go to Barstow. But I'm not wasn't worried about it. Why? Because God provides the resources. It was a Friday night. Do you know where Barstow is? On a Friday night? You got to be kidding me, God. We had a full tank of gas. We had just gone, before Trav came over, to fill up our tank. Full tank of gas. It was a Friday night. We're old. We had no plans. Even crazier, for our 40th wedding anniversary, we took that very same train trip, so we were familiar with the stops and the trip itself and where they were going just before that. And the last thing is, for those that didn't catch it the first time, I kind of like trains. And so I have a website saved on my phone that tells me the status of all Amtrak trains. So I was originally only going to go to San Bernardino, because I'm not that spiritual to drive all the way to Barstow. But I saw that the train was going to beat us to San Bernardino. So I kept that app open, and it said Barstow. So God provided a lot of resources for that opportunity, didn't he? The situation for us was just perfect. Okay. I don't know why this is doing this, but Satan's not going to win out today.
Never.
So my story part two. So we decided we're going to go to Barstow. And this is one of the things that fills me with joy about this story more than any other thing. I called our son, Travis. His first words to me, "Are you going to take those guys to Barstow?" Literally. That's the first thing he said to me. And then he said, "Dad, I'm sitting across from their family. I'll let them know." He is. Amen to that. So he provided all that. We loaded up the car, loaded up the guys, and headed off to Barstow. We had 1/4 of 1 mile of bumper-to-bumper traffic on the whole route on a Friday night going to Barstow. Is God amazing or what? I mean, I never thought I'd rejoice for no traffic, but boy, that was pretty cool. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, this he will also reap. Let us not become discouraged in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Darn it. There we go. Thank you. Oh. Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. That's the wrong reference. The reference should be Luke 6:38 for those who are taking notes. Cut and paste doesn't always work that well. So, God produces the return. On the way there, we knew we had a captive audience, and the temptation to like give them the four spiritual laws, or for those who don't know what that is, you can come see me afterwards. I'll be glad to tell you the four spiritual laws. we didn't do any of that. We just started talking. And God will provide the produce. I said, you know, I don't really mind driving to Barstow. And the guys are like, why? I said, because there's a Tommy's in Barstow. Double cheese, baby. The craziest thing was the guy in the back seat said, Tommy's. I had planned to go there on this trip, but because we had to leave a day earlier because the train was full, I couldn't get that in. So guess what we did? We were 40 minutes ahead of the train. I was lead-footing it, baby. We stopped at Tommy's. I got a double cheeseburger for Travis. I got one for me. They got their hamburgers. We went on. But when I got back on the freeway, I asked the guy, I said, why do you think we would do this? Here's what he said. Because God's inside you, and he told you to do it. We didn't say anything else about anything spiritual to that guy. Let's go back one. Okay, let's try this again. There we go. Thanks, Chuck. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do you know what that does? You know what that does for me, knowing that verse? What happened? What happened? God's inside you, and he told you to do it. Giving glory to God. And these people were far from God, because I listened to their conversation. They were far from God, like we all have been. It was amazing. It was amazing. So, the payoff. My faith was strengthened. Right? God gives the increase. He provides the opportunity. Right? He presents the opportunity. He provides the resources. And he makes the increase. All we got to do is show up. My faith was strengthened as a result of that. The effort brought me joy. Not just the fact that there was no traffic. That brought me joy too. But seriously, all the way home, I mean, even now, inside your soul right now, you're kind of excited about this story. Is that not true? It's a cool story. Just driving to Barstow. Who goes to Barstow? People that like Tommy's, I guess. My weariness dissipated. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Right? It says that in 1 Corinthians 15:58. It's a great verse. Memorize it and keep telling yourself that. That drive to Barso seemed like 10 minutes, both directions. My weariness was dissipated. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world nor the things in the world. Because for those who love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. So if you're worried about what I'm going to eat or what I'm going to drink or who's going to like me or how long am I going to feel this way, if you're worried about those things, those are all part of your daily existence. They're all part of the worldly aspect of your life. Try and see wonder. John tells us about feeding the 5,000. What happened? Hey, there's a little boy with 2 fish and 5 loaves. I don't know how that happened. I choose to believe that that little boy said, I heard you talking. Here's my 2 fish and 5 loaves. He saw wonder. He didn't see the world. He saw wonder. Open your eyes to wonder and quit looking at the world. It's passing away. It's like a bus station. We're here for a short time. And the bathrooms and bus stations are really bad. So seek wonder, not the world. And I want to conclude with this. Hang on. I'll just leave it right there. I'll let you figure it out. I'm not going to go to the next steps. I have three short, quick stories to tell you. Time's up, but I'm going to tell you anyway. My first story is about a young girl in the 1990s played softball with my daughters. And so guess what we were doing at the same time we were playing softball? We had Awana here. So we invited them to come to Awana. Guess what? We went after practice and picked them up at their house and brought them to Awana every Wednesday. They loved it. The family was an unchurched family. I just friended that person on Facebook earlier this week. And when I looked at her Facebook page, right there in bold print, James 1:17. I can't quote it, and it wasn't on there. It just said James 1:17. So when I sent her a message and said, I'd like to tell your story in this message, she said, yeah, I was in Awana. My kids are in Awana. Amen? Is that cool? From a softball team to the next generation being in an Awana program and hearing about God. But I didn't find that out in the 1990s when we took her. I just now found that out. Be steadfast, immovable. I'm pretty sure a woman that came here also related to Awana. She came to church, and I'm pretty sure it had something to do with Donna Burroughs. I think she knew her, she babysat for her. Somehow she ended up at church, and she brought her daughter, who was 8 years old. We started bringing that 8-year-old daughter to Awana. That 8-year-old daughter is now 30. Her mother invited us in November to her baptism. 22 years later, we knew nothing. We had no idea. Right? Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. My last story, the first Scrooge. Back then, I was involved quite a bit more with a railroad museum, and I met a guy there who was working on a project that he'd been working on for like 10 years and going nowhere. And so you don't make yourself very popular working on the same project and taking forever. You're not getting anything done. You're using resources for no good. The people in the museum consequently didn't really like him very well, but I had to write an article about his project, and so I got to know him. I interviewed him. He came to our printing company. We talked and had a few lunches together. I invited him to Scrooge, our very first Scrooge. He came. Fast forward to about 9 months ago. Corey, my wife's dying of cancer. What should I do? That's from starting in 1990 maybe. So I coached him the best I could. I prayed for him. I told him what I was praying for him. I gave him Bible verses to read. He sent me another message after his wife passed that said, thank you so much for sending those Bible verses for my wife. They meant everything to her. 30 years. Will we see him in heaven? I hope so. I mean, I still have the opportunity, right? Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Keep your eyes open. Don't be like ancient Israel. You're with the Shekinah glory, but you complain about what you don't have. Don't do that. I do it. Let's all stop. Oops. I had my next steps up there. Thanks. Thanks, Chuck. Our next steps somewhere. Anyway, regarding our next steps, They'll be with us in a moment. Always keep on the lookout for kingdom opportunities. Account for and use the resources God has provided. Let God's wonder spur you to stand firm and abide in Jesus. The reason I preached this message was because when Mike was talking about the Sermon on the Mount, when he preached on the Sermon on the Mount, I saw all those things that Jesus was telling us to do. And quite frankly, I was overwhelmed to think that I could live up to that standard. It just was piling on more and more and more. And the reality is, moment by moment, when we walk with God, His yoke is easy. It's not a burden. So let God's wonder spur you to stand firm and abide in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for helping us to work through the slide problem. And I just pray, Lord, that your word would touch the hearts of everybody in here and those watching on their computers at home. I just thank you for the opportunity to serve you, Father, and for you giving our family God stories. And I pray that you would multiply the God stories in this place, Father, so that people would be lining up to share the good news of what happened to them. Father, we just praise your name, and we glorify you to the best of our ability. In the name of your Son, amen.